I'm in place set for the oral argument in Franceschi, I hope I'm saying that correctly, versus LG Chem 87802. Are counsel ready? You may reserve time for rebuttal, and the first 2 minutes are yours to speak uninterrupted.
I'd like to reserve 4 minutes, please. Good morning, Justice Pickering, Justice Kadish, and Justice Lee David Snyder. On behalf of the appellant Roberto Franceschi, may it please the court. Roberto purchased an LG 18650 battery in Nevada. It exploded in Nevada, and it caused him injuries in Nevada. Yet, in granting LG respondents' dismissal motion, the district court misapplied the jurisdictional analysis, resulting in error. First, it considered LG respondents' forum contact separately instead of in the totality of the circumstances and together. It took a narrow view of what constitutes purposeful availing, seeming to conclude that only direct 18650 battery sales to Nevada could satisfy the standard, and it didn't address the intentional business model that LG respondents employ, in which they collaborate with end manufacturers and knowingly supply batteries for use as components and end products that they know will be for sale in stores throughout Nevada. Properly applying the jurisdictional case law demonstrates the district court's error, as Roberto made a prima facie showing that LG respondents purposely avail themselves of Nevada's market for 18650 batteries. To begin, I think we need to clarify the analytical framework that the court has to use, and it starts with what underpins specific jurisdiction. As the court has noted from International Shoe, Worldwide Volkswagen, and Ford Motor Company, that reciprocity underpins this analysis. When a non-resident defendant exploits a forum's market in a product, it creates a reciprocal obligation for it to stand to suit and submit to that forum's jurisdiction when that exploitation causes a controversy. It's, in a sense, it's a trade of access for accountability. So specific jurisdiction will exist when a non-resident defendant's deliberate actions continuously and systematically exploit the forum's market in a product. And as Justice O'Connor noted in Asahi Metal Industries, that this would include employing a distribution system that brings products into a forum or designing a product in anticipation for sales in the forum. And such deliberate actions provide fair warning that the non-resident defendant might stand suit in that forum. Now, I think there's three things that we have to keep in mind when we do the analysis. First is that courts properly consider these contacts as a whole. I think that Justice Kagan's analysis in Ford is instructive, where she not only considered advertising and sales, but she also looked to Ford's support of secondary markets, to dealerships, to repair shops, et cetera. And as we noted in an opening brief, pages 49 to 50, this is pretty unanimous across federal circuits and sister jurisdictions that courts don't do the analysis contact by contact. They take them all in as one and ask themselves.
But counsel, isn't this matter just distinguishable from Ford, where they were able to show in Ford that there was, that Ford had established and maintained a market in the forum for the very model of car that the plaintiffs alleged to have injured them, whereas here, is there any evidence to show that LG systematically created, maintained, or served a market in Nevada for the 18650 battery?
Yes, I believe so. And you know, factually, before I can dig into the facts that show that, first, I think again we need a frame to analyze them through. And I think Asahi is instructive here. And in there, Justice O'Connor contrasted a situation where you have a Japanese valve manufacturer that just sells valves. A Taiwanese tube manufacturer buys them, and these tubes end up in California. And she says, look, jurisdiction's not here because we don't see evidence that this Japanese valve manufacturer is taking some act to avail itself of California such that California courts could have specific jurisdiction over that indemnity action, right? But at the same time, she contrasts that case with another one, which also involves a component manufacturer where she suggested that specific jurisdiction will lie, and that's Rockwell International Corp. And the facts there show what I think is key here. And in that case, you had a French manufacturer that is collaborating with an Italian helicopter manufacturer. They are working together so that the component manufacturer can create a product that will be within the helicopter. And in so doing, the component manufacturer knew that the Italian helicopter manufacturer, would be selling that helicopter in the forum at issue, which was Pennsylvania. A Pennsylvania company bought it, it malfunctioned, And the district court said, look, a specific jurisdiction has to lie here because in this instance, since they're collaborating, the component manufacturer has a stake in the sale of the end product. They're not useful without one another, and that reflects a choice to participate within the end manufacturer's distribution marketing plan. And Rockwell wasn't the only court to kind of come to this conclusion, and we set forth plenty in our briefs, and I'll touch upon just a few others briefly before I dig into the facts that we have here. In A.O. Smith Corp., the Louisiana appellate court found the same instance where you just had water heaters and tubes. They worked together to make sure that the component manufacturer worked with the water heater manufacturer to make sure that their tubes were in those water heaters. And that constituted a specific act that would give rise to jurisdiction in that instance, Louisiana, because you could not separate the two products. Similarly, in Monolithic Power Systems, this is a case where you had a Cayman Islands semiconductor manufacturer that worked with Acer, a laptop manufacturer, to make sure that those semiconductors were within those laptops, knowing that they would be for sale, and in those cases, places like Costco and California stores. Since they worked together, and even though the Cayman Islands semiconductor manufacturer sold the semiconductors later to Asian distributors, which then packaged them and then sold them to Acer, specific jurisdictions still resulted because they knew it would be there. And I think the Russell Court kind of captures this idea best. This is from the Illinois appellate courts, that in this instance where you have this collaboration, the end manufacturer becomes the marketer and the distributor of a joint product, the ultimate product, that they welcome these sales.
What
in the
was
form.
The ultimate product? Was it just the standalone battery?
No. The ultimate product here, these are in as our brief set out, these are in multiple things, but here I'll just talk about power tools. And what do we have here? We know from the facts of this case that LG Chem America meets with LG Chem's manufacturing customers. This is Hyunsoo Kim's testimony that's in this matter's record. And they attend regular technical meetings with these manufacturers. They collect specifications for batteries of design, and LG Chem America takes this information, shares it with LG Chem. LG Chem incorporates this into their battery design and then manufactures batteries that will meet those specific customers' needs, right? Mm-hmm. That's an intentional act. That's not an accident. That distinguishes them from, say, the valve manufacturer that just makes valves.
Well, I understand, counsel, but those batteries are in Nevada incorporated in Apple products, Black & Decker products. But I guess with relation to the e-cigarette market, were they sold together as a part of the e-cigarette? Were they standalone batteries then that the retailer was selling separately to recharge these e-cigarettes?
I think this actually goes to relatedness rather than purposeful availment. And so then I'll turn to
not arising out of
the right, because right. You know, the question here I see is first, did LG Chem purposely avail itself of Nevada's market in 18650 batteries? And I think our answer is yes.
Yeah.
By integrating and taking deliberate actions to make sure that power tool manufacturers and others use their batteries and not others, knowing that they will be for sale here, they are availing themselves of Nevada market.
And I don't think counsel's arguing that.
I think they actually do. But okay. That aside, we'll get to relatedness here. I think that Justice Kagan's analysis in Ford actually does help us here, along with other jurisdictions that have interpreted the same. I think it's in site 367 in footnote 5. She kind of mentions that, look, if the manufacturer is availing themselves of the market, they buy the vehicle outside of the form and it ends in. In that instance, it doesn't necessarily matter if the manufacturer's forum contacts were those that contributed to them purchasing, acquiring, or obtaining this chattel, right? What matters is, did it malfunction in that forum? Otherwise, to have to require that kind of strict causal relation collapses the holding, I think, in Ford, which is that you don't need causation. It just needs to be related in a general sense.
What do you do with the Seventh Circuit case that was in the supplemental authorities that were filed yesterday? Is there any distinction in between that case and this case, factually?
I think factually
BD versus Samsung.
Yes. 143 Federal 4th. Yes. I think that factually they look very, very similar, right? Because these batteries end up in Indiana and manufactured goods, and the Seventh Circuit is trying to figure out whether specific jurisdiction lies. I think the mistake that the Seventh Circuit makes is actually in its analysis. What it does there is it splits Indiana's forum in essence, in its market, or if you will, into two separate markets. It says there's an end product market. Of course, they purposefully avail themselves of this market. But then they create this derivative product market, I think they called it, and said, well, you know, LG Chem may have intended to serve this market, but not this one, so this may not be foreseeable. And my counter to that is that when you split the forum into different segments rather than considering it as a whole, you're doing something, I think, that as the Sixth Circuit and the Fifth Circuit noted, suggested, has no basis in the Supreme Court's jurisprudence, as they noted in Etheridge and in Sullivan, respectively. And I think the problem with doing that is, and I think that Etheridge captured this best, is courts are usually resolving dismissal motions here in Nevada in an NRCP 12b2 instance.
But you would agree that if we were to follow the Seventh Circuit, that the decision below should be affirmed?
If this court were to follow the Seventh Circuit and to fragment Nevada's market into these separate things instead of one whole, then yes, because the facts do look the same. But I think that is the actual mistake that that circuit is making. I think it was in J. McIntyre Machinery, the statement is that the analytical framework is supposed to be, it's Justice Kennedy, it's forum by forum, it's sovereign by sovereign. It's not, and that's because jurisdiction arises out of presence. We have to use purposeful availing as a means to substitute for presence in like the modern economy. But the question is are you there? It's not why you're there. It's are you there?
But Mr. Snyder, don't you have to, the purposeful availment prong is a separate prong than the arise out of or relate to prong, but they're connected, right? Doesn't it have to arise out of or relate to the activities that constitute the purposeful availment?
Yes, that's correct, but I don't think it's, you apply it in such a mechanical way like the court did in Yamashita and the court did in Superior Court, where the plaintiff has the burden of demonstrating how the product moved through the supply chain and into the forum. And
well,
you know,
and on that point, there's a dispute in the briefs, and pardon me, I'm kind of ignorant on these batteries, but as I understand it, you're saying that these defendants sold to two people in Nevada, two manufacturers in Nevada, and they're saying that's not accurate. And I look at the record, and it looks like you rely on page 1589, but that 30B6 deponent is talking about lithium ion batteries, not these numerical batteries, 18650.
I think that Kiwan Choi's testimony is broad in the sense that it refers to lithium ion batteries. There are, however, invoices within the records on volume 8, 1767 to 69, in volume 13, 2437 to 53, that show that sales to those particular entities were 18650 batteries. Now,
I look at the pages 1767 through 1769, those invoices, they identify the entities, but the delivery is a California shipping market in California.
That's correct.
So that does not establish that the 18650, if I've got the number right, is coming to those entities in Nevada.
No, that is correct, Justice Pickering.
Okay,
and
I want to be
clear about something. This testimony, as I read it, exists in the record, but there's a reason that we did impress this issue in our legal analysis section, is because I think that Mr. Choi, when he spoke on that, I think there's a good chance that he's mistaken.
So are you saying that, so two, I guess two things. One is, does LG itself ship any 18650 batteries to Nevada? And number two, if not, you're saying it is selling 18650 batteries to others elsewhere, but those are ending up in products that do come to Nevada?
So the answer to your first question is no. This record doesn't show a direct sale of this particular battery to Nevada.
Right.
That is true. The second, the answer is we rely on this component manufacturing theory to show that nonetheless, they are purposely availing themselves of this market by collaborating with these end manufacturers.
So it is really on all fours with the BD Samsung case. And if that was my understanding of the facts in that case.
The facts look identical, but again, I think that the BD court is erring in splitting right. the forum into different subsections, and it seems like my time is running down, so I'd like to say
thank you very much.
Yes.
Good morning. May it please the court, Wendy Dowes for respondents, LG Chem Limited and LG Chem America, Inc. Ford reaffirmed that the purposeful availment and relatedness requirements of specific jurisdiction are supposed to provide a defendant with fair warning, knowledge that a particular activity may subject it to the jurisdiction of a foreign sovereign. A defendant can thus structure its primary conduct to lessen or avoid exposure to a given state's courts. That's exactly what LG Chem did when it took steps to stop the unauthorized sale of 18650s to consumers. It required its customers to sign declarations of commitment. It required its customers to sign new sales contracts. It put warnings on its 18650 sales. It revised its product specifications, and it sent thousands of cease and desist letters to vaping retailers and distributors across the country. While we respectfully disagree with the, there are several decisions that have found that the sales of 18650 cells to industrial customers to incorporate into battery packs are sufficiently related to cases like Franceschi's that involve the unauthorized sales of individual cells. With one exception, the records in those cases are not remotely comparable to the record before this court. The Texas Supreme Court in Morgan did not have the evidence of LG Chem's efforts to stop the sales. The Mississippi Supreme Court in Dilworth did not have that evidence. The Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals in Sullivan did not have that evidence. The Georgia Court of Appeals in Lemmerman did not have that evidence. And the Illinois Appellate Court in Cothawalla did not have that evidence. And I can go on. But the one exception is Etheridge. And of course, Etheridge drew a fairly blistering dissent that cited repeatedly along with, the Seventh Circuit in the BD case cited repeatedly the dissent in Etheridge along with Yamashita and LG Chem versus Superior Court. And of course, LG Chem versus Superior Court was the first case that directly addressed the jurisdictional meaning of LG Chem's efforts to stop these sales. And this is one of the cases that quote unquote splits the forum, but I thought that in BD, the court very eloquently and very emphatically addressed and disposed of almost every argument that the plaintiff has made here. Distinguishing between the end product stream of commerce that brings consumer products containing 18650 cells into the forum state and the unauthorized back channel stream of commerce that brought Franceschi's 18650 cells to Nevada does not amount to dividing the forum. It's just accurately differentiating between the types of contacts the defendant has with the forum. This is something that courts do every day. So it's not fragmenting the market. It's not too granular. This is just something courts do all the time. And I couldn't possibly say it better than the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals at 143 F. 4th at 769 to 770. So if this is a mistake that the Seventh Circuit made, it was also a mistake made by the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals and a mistake made by the...
But we're not just talking about like various products. Like we're not talking about a car battery versus this model of much smaller battery. This, as I understand it, so let me first ask, do you agree that the 18650 battery that LG makes does end up in products that its customers incorporates it into products, and they end up being sold, among other places, in Nevada.
Yes.
Okay. So the 18650 batteries are landing in Nevada, and LG is aware of that and isn't taking steps to stop that, right?
Absolutely. Right.
Okay.
So
why isn't that enough? Like, he was injured by an 18650 battery, or 18650 LG's 18650 batteries are all over Nevada. Why isn't that enough? He bought it at a store in Nevada, got injured in Nevada.
Well, so the Seventh Circuit directly addressed that and said, look, there are two different streams of commerce here, and why isn't it fair to defendants? What we're looking at is the defendant's contact with the forum state, and the plaintiffs try to focus on, well, the plaintiff was here, I was injured here, I purchased it here, but the defendant's contact with the forum, the specific jurisdictional analysis looks at the defendant's contacts, not the plaintiff. It's a defendant-focused
right.
analysis.
So the defendant is selling the product to manufacturers it knows are incorporating this particular product, this particular battery, into products that are being sold in Nevada, and it's aware of that and not stopping it. Doesn't that equal intent, effectively?
Well, so it depends on whether you're looking at, so whether this constitutes purposeful availment in the first place is an open question. So Yamashita, the Ninth Circuit applies a stream of commerce, Justice O'Connor's stream of commerce plus test, which I believe the plaintiffs are advocating for here. So under the stream of commerce plus test, what Yamashita found was this doesn't even constitute purposeful availment in the first place. So it doesn't even qualify as a contact with the forum state that the plaintiff's claims could relate to. So it went on to discuss relatedness, but under a stream of commerce plus analysis, sales to an industrial customer who's going to take these 18650 cells and incorporate, add a protective circuitry, add a battery pack. So the 18650 cell is not a battery itself. When the only way a consumer could ever really get their hands on this through the end product stream of commerce, as the Seventh Circuit put it, is if you took a power drill and kind of took a hammer to it, broke it apart, removed the 18650 cell from its protective circuitry and its hard cell battery pack. Consumers are never supposed to touch these things. They're actually components of a component, which is it's a component of a battery pack. So they were never, ever designed for consumers to ever touch them or see
right.
them.
And that may be a merits defense.
Well, so there's always going to be some, and this was in the LG Chem v. Superior Court case, and it's also in BD. There's always overlap between when you're talking about specific jurisdiction, because you're talking about the defendant's case-specific conduct. So there's very, very often going to be overlap between...
But their point is that it's entirely foreseeable that these were going to end up in Nevada and be used in this fashion. You may have a misuse of product defense that your client wants to assert, but, and I don't know the numbers on this, but they're deriving profit by selling these cells to manufacturers who are in turn incorporating them, and they are known to be selling and distributing those in a Nevada market where known misuse is occurring, known to the extent that they are warning and in fact ostensibly prohibiting the people who they sell these to from selling them separately and individually. But is that, I'm a little troubled with that extension of the idea of purposeful availment, because they're deriving money from the market in Nevada by selling to manufacturers who they know are incorporating them. I'm sorry for the garbled question, but can you comment on that?
Totally understandable. Under Justice Brennan's just straight stream of commerce, which is what the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals, they were very emphatic that this does qualify as purposeful availment. What doesn't qualify as purposeful availment is this kind, they call it the derivative stream of commerce.
But is this the first iteration of the derivative stream of commerce?
Yes, by a court, not in argument. So Justice Brennan found when in Asahi Metal, Justice Brennan found no reason to require additional conduct. So he rejected, His Honor, rejected the stream of commerce plus formulation. And I'll give you his exact words. I don't want to read to you, but I want to make sure I get his words exactly right.
Well, I mean, he effectively said, if you're selling it to someone and you know they're going to end up selling it in your state, that's enough.
And I believe he says the regular and anticipated flow of products reaches the forum state, which would support Mr. Franceschi's argument.
So Justice Brennan said he didn't find a reason to adopt the stream of commerce plus because the stream of commerce refers not to unpredictable currents or eddies, but to the regular and anticipated flow of products from manufacture to distribution to retail sale. That's at 480 U.S. at 117 in Justice Brennan's concurring opinion. So under that theory, this stream that brought brings 18650 cells to the forum state for sale to individual consumers is not really a stream of commerce at all. It's really an unauthorized back channel created by, you know, the unilateral actions of third parties. So what BD says is we have to distinguish between the end product stream of commerce.
I understand what BD says, but is it consistent with the Brennan view of stream of commerce?
On the purposeful availment? Yes.
Yeah.
I think that it is. My only comment was it's another way of looking at it is it's not really a stream of commerce at all, because when you have unauthorized third parties diverting the stream and the product doesn't end up in the forum state while still in the stream of commerce, if you're looking at stream of commerce that way. But the way BD framed it was the derivative stream of commerce. That's the unauthorized back channel stream of commerce. And that's not purposeful availment by the defendant manufacturer of the 18650 cells.
Well, this isn't a one-off situation with Mr. Franceschi, right? Apparently there were these cases all over the country, and it was a big enough problem that your client sent letters, as I understand it, to every vape shop in the country about this. So apparently, in spite of the representations of its customers that it would never do this, someone is doing this and has been for years.
So it was first discovered in 2016, as soon as LG Chem and Samsung's, because this was a big factor in the BD case, as soon as the manufacturers found, and there are other manufacturers of 18650 cells as well.
Right.
So as soon as the manufacturers found out that this was happening, they made every effort to make it stop. So I went over the efforts that LG Chem made. Samsung's efforts, as described in the BD case, were similar. But that was in 2016. It took a while for this to get out. This we have in Franceschi a very, very late. In many of the earlier cases, the injuries were unfortunately before LG Chem and the other manufacturers had noticed. So, you know, we couldn't make that argument. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the arguments have evolved. So it took a while for the manufacturers to get the word out. And then what we had happening is we had these unauthorized third parties, and they were actively seeking out, either old stock without the warnings, or they were actually removing the wrappers from the warnings and putting new wrappers on that didn't have warnings. So, you know, that the, and
Is there evidence in the record about where this vape shop got the battery?
There are several distributors. Yes, there were several distributors in Texas. So the distributors were all named as defendants. So yes, there is evidence where the vape shop got it. And there is also evidence that LG Chem and LGCI had absolutely no involvement with those distributors.
So then the next step is where the distributors get them.
Right. And so I don't believe that there was any discovery conducted into that, but I can tell you from working on hundreds of these cases, it's usually a company in China. You know, there are several companies in China that somehow got their hands on these things. And whenever we find out the identity of one of those companies, then that it's involved in a case, we always say they had LG Chem had no no involvement with these companies. So what BD says is that you have to look at this stream, the stream that the manufacturer is involved in, and you have to look at the stream that actually brought the 18650 cell to the forum state. And there's a complete disconnect between that stream and the plaintiff's injuries, because there was, LG Chem had no involvement in the stream that brought the 18650 cell to the state.
Well, don't you think the stream is sort of a tributary to the stream that brought this to Nevada? I mean, analytically it is. Maybe legally you're contending it's not, but the sales in the U.S. of these two people is a tributary that feeds the stream into Nevada, and you're just saying that's not enough. I understand BD is on your side, and I recognize that.
Yeah, it's not purposeful. Preventing this from happening is the opposite of purposeful availment. So purposeful availment is serving a market, in the words of Ford, serving a market. And when the manufacturer does everything it can to not serve that market and prevent that market from taking hold, then that's not purposeful availment.
So I think your colleagues on the other side dispute that you did everything you could. I think they're saying that maybe there's a fact issue with respect to whether there were other steps you could have taken but did not do. In other words, that it was all talk, all show, no substance.
I'm not aware of that argument being made, but
there's no dispute, I think, that that LG knows and doesn't object to 18650 batteries getting incorporated into products that are being sold in Nevada. The only question, the issue is about the fact that they're not supposed to be individually sold.
Sure. There's in the situation where an 18650 gets sold to an individual consumer, there's no quid pro quo in the words of BD. There's no quid pro quo between the state and LG Chem, because LG Chem has forcefully tried not to engage in this business and tried to stop this business from happening in Nevada. And it also violates the notion of fair notice. The Supreme Court has repeatedly said, like I said it in the beginning of my argument, you have to be able to structure your primary conduct to lessen or avoid jurisdiction in a particular court. And if plaintiff's argument is accepted, the only thing that LG Chem could have done to lessen or avoid its jurisdiction in Nevada would be to never have manufactured 18650 batteries in the first place. And I see my time is up.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Forgive me if I rush, for I see my time is short. Very briefly, it would have been nice to see my colleagues' distinguishment of what records were in the district court orders in Morgan, Dilworth, Sullivan, et cetera, in their briefs. Secondly, I just want to direct this court's attention to Hyun-Soo Kim's testimony in Volume 9, 2061. I mean, he understands this, that in his statements, he says anybody, any consumer that buys an end product that has these batteries in them can open them up and take them out. And I want the court to kind of consider this jurisdictional puzzle that it would be in if it were to agree with LG.
Could you repeat the cite to the record?
Yes, Volume 9, 2061.
Thank you.
You're welcome, Justice Pickering. Imagine that somebody buys a power tool that has the battery in it, uses it, and it explodes. I mean, I think under those facts, LG Chem would be subject to specific jurisdiction, and you would find relatedness. Customer buys that same battery, then removes the battery out, it explodes. Why does that end specific jurisdiction in that instance? It doesn't seem to make sense. The customer opens the battery, removes it from the battery pack, sells it to somebody else on a secondary market, it explodes. Why does that then break specific jurisdiction? That puts us in exactly what Justice Kagan said that the purposeful availment standard or the relatedness standard rejects. That's causation only. That is not relatedness. And again, the question is it's not why that the non-resident defendant is present within the forum. It's, are you present in the forum? And if you are, you have to stand to account for injuries that are related to your conduct within that forum.
But you also have to have purposeful availment.
And yes, Your Honor, and I believe that, again, their collaboration with end manufacturers and putting batteries into these products.
So if I take one of these batteries out of a Black & Decker drill and I drive to New York with it and it explodes, you wouldn't have jurisdiction in New York, right? Like, I mean, it has to be LG inserting itself into that market in a purposeful, intentional way.
If LG is also, and I would believe that they are, if they are putting their components in the same power tools that are for sale in the same home development stores and big box department stores, then I think there would be. I mean, that's what Ford found. It didn't matter that the cars were bought in a secondary market.
It's related to the injury, though, correct?
It's the product. The product malfunctioned. It caused the injury, all within the forum. It's relatedness, I think, under Ford, unless the court has further questions.
I have one question.
Yes, Your Honor.
Do you concede that, are you contesting the adequacy of the measures LG Chem took analytically under the jurisdictional analysis that a defendant can try to avoid and doesn't want to be in the jurisdiction, can take steps to avoid it? The Supreme Court has preserved that sanctuary for a defendant. Do you think that the conduct here by LG Chem meets that standard?
Because my time is up, we did address that in our opening brief and in our reply brief. I believe it's under subheadings that speak to their use of distribution networks. And yes, that is a position that we took. I think Justice White would have said in International Shoe that your option would be to buy insurance, pass the cost off to consumers, or to exit the forum.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome, Your Honor. Thank you.